Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the King James Version of the Bible. Now, as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am feeling enthusiastic because we're in a new chapter. We're in a new book, the book of Matthew. Now, this study, Matthew will expose or expound upon the teachings of Jesus Christ according to this particular gospel or good news by Matthew the Apostle. It gives us a scenario of his life as prescribed by only one of his 12 apostles. Many new concepts are revealed in 28 chapters of this manuscript. Now, theologians agree that Matthew's version is written from a Jewish perspective, meaning from a viewpoint of Jewish learning tradition. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. Now, the comments and the advice that you're giving me, I am using. Thank you very much, my precious brothers and sisters. As the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through Isaiah, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. That's taken from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Now, the promise is that you will be saved if you look unto God. The God said through King David, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That is taken from Psalms 1, verse 1. Now, the promise is the blessing that you're going to receive from God, but you can't walk in the ways of the ungodly or stand in the way of scoffers or sit in the seat of the scornful. God said through King David, cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's taken from Psalms 55, verse 22. And again, the promise is that if you cast your burdens upon God, you're going to be okay. Now, the question to you again, my listening brothers and sisters, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, I want you to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code, my precious brothers and sisters, is through study and through learning. Now, let's get to the study. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Now, remember, there are 28 chapters in the book of Matthew. We're just on chapter 5, and I have written 78 instructions for this series, and we're on instruction number 9. And this is what Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17 through 20 says. And as I read the verses, please keep in mind this instruction. The law will be fulfilled. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? The law of God will be fulfilled. And this is what Matthew says about it in chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That is something that is so critical in our awareness, that God did not, or Jesus did not, destroy the law that was given through Moses, but he did come and fulfill it, and it is still being fulfilled to this day. Verse 18 says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Now, we know that the book of Revelations is still pending, and this is what I'm saying, that Jesus identified partially some of what he sent to John the Revelator in the book of Revelations in his Gospels in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when he talked about, or he was sitting at the temple walls, and the apostles asked him, when will the end come and the like? That's what I'm talking about. Verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be counted the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So this is twofold. There is also a sharing of the word, and there is the applying of the word. We must do both. Verse 20 says, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. My precious brothers and sisters, except our righteousness exceeds those that our ministers and preachers and pastors are telling us, we're going to be lacking in what we all accomplish this side of eternity, not only for ourselves to be successful, but for the others who hear it. Verse 21 says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, I'm going to stop there. I've gone a little further than I wanted to. Let us now go to our Old Testament complement, and let us see what the prophet Isaiah says about this. Now, Isaiah says it poignantly in chapter 55, verse 11 of his writing. This is what Isaiah says about all of God. Now, I just specified through what Jesus said, identifying the law. But this is the entirety of God's existence, everything that is spoken or done through God Almighty. This is what Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So that tells us that it is in concrete. It is sold. It has been done. It cannot be changed, and it cannot be altered, all of what God has presented to us. But we have 66 books that gives us that information. Now what we're going to do is we're going to break for a, we're going to pause for a break, and then we're going to come back and complete the rest.
It's an urge. Truth be told, every champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every lion has felt it. Every winner has felt it. Every soldier has felt it. Every victorious person has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money, you don't have the health, and you don't have the family for it, and you don't have the background for it, and you don't have the friends for it. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It may take you twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You might not read as fast. You might not move as quick. You might not have as much. But don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. As weak as you are, as tired as you are, as many mistakes as you made, you do make a difference. There is something they would lose if you were not there. There was something that they would miss if you were not there. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. Keep hopping. It's for people that are trying to hop their way back home. Come hell or high water, doing the best they can with what they got. That's who we are, doing the best we can with what we got. And we may not break any ribbons and we may not get any trophies, but if we can learn how to hang on in there, we'll be all right. I will not lie to you, I feel like going on. But I have seen days I did not want to get out of the bed, didn't want to put on clothes, and didn't even feel like brushing my teeth. I've seen days so dark that I just wanted to keep driving, and I didn't even care where I ended up or what you called me. They came, and they passed, and they came to pass. I kept the faith. I kept it. I lost a lot of stuff. I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of strength. I lost a lot of courage. I lost a lot of time. I lost a lot of money. But I kept down on my knees. I was still believing. Broke, I was believing. Lonely, I was believing. Betrayed, I was. If you lose the job, keep the faith. If you lose the spouse, keep the faith. If you bury your child, keep the faith. If you have to downsize, keep the faith. If you have to move in with your mama, keep the faith. If you're at your wit's end, keep the faith. If you have to catch the bus, keep the faith. If you have to love, keep the faith. If you get sick, keep the faith. If you lose your kidneys, keep the faith. If you got heart trouble, keep the faith. You might not get a new heart, but you gotta keep your faith.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with the final thought in instruction number 9, the law will be fulfilled. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, and Isaiah substantiated in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, complementing and agreeing with Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, when he said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that the word of God, which includes his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his statutes, his judgments, his testimonies, and the like, shall be fulfilled before the end of the world comes. So we understand that the end of the world will not occur until all of this has been accomplished. But we have to be careful because the end of the world in general is not saying our end will be at the same time. We know that people only live for so long, and we have had over 2,000 years of this experience that we're still looking and taking part in and didn't even realize was going to continue. But it wasn't the end as God has prescribed. And that's what I want you to take and learn from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to chapter 5 of Matthew, the book of Matthew. We're going to look at verse 21 through 42, and we're going to take into account this instruction. As I read the instruction, please keep this in mind, then I'll read the text. If you judge, if you lust for, if you swear, be aware of God's penalties. My brothers and sisters, if you judge, if you lust for, if you swear, be aware of God's penalties. And this is what Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 42 says. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now that's telling us that we're going to be in trouble. We're in danger of the judgment. You can say that we are sinning if we lust or long in our heart for someone to be dead, even if we didn't physically do that. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever says, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Jesus takes it even more specifically. You have to make sure that your judgment is within the bounds of God's realm. Now, God tells us that judgment is a part of his reality, but we are not to judge. And that is where we get into trouble. Now, of course, we know that there is a judgment for actions performed that must be applied to the action. And those actions, for instance, if you disobey your parents, if you disobey the laws of the land, those actions are not only relative, they are to be performed. But we have to make sure that there is no hatred in our heart. There is no extreme wanting or desire to cause affliction on any of our fellow men. This is what verse 23 says. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thy adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest in any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Again, my brothers and sisters, what this is telling us is that as we are dealing with Christians, we have to be very careful how we resolve our, you know, dispute with Christians. Outside of Christianity, this is not the case. Verse 26 says, verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the utmost farthing. You've heard that it was said by them of times old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right hand, now to say again, we have to be careful how we have committed our feelings to what we're doing. If it's extreme, that is trouble and problematic for you. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let them give a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saying for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her, that is divorce, commits adultery. And now, this again, a lot of what we're listening to is parable, but when you're talking about a Christian, you should be living and applying your life as with what the law says to do. And if it's outside of the law, then you're going to have a problem. Verse 33 says, again, you have heard that has been said of them of old, that thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thy oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by the heaven nor by God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great kings. Neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. Again, we're talking about those who are practicing according to the commandments and laws of God. Outside of the laws and commandments of God, you're going to have problems in performing what Jesus is telling you to do. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the court and take away thy coat, let him have thy coat also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I've read more than what I intended to. The point is, as a Christian to a Christian, if you judge, if you lust for, if you swear at, be aware of God's penalties. Outside of Christianity, this does not hold the same. Now, there's more scripture that gives credence to what I just told you, but we're only in the book of Matthew right now, and I'm only reading towards that. Now it's time for a break, and after the break, we'll continue.
John Maxwell here. Glad you're with me today on Minute with Maxwell. Let me talk to you a moment on the subject of compassion, caring for people. What I've discovered is the fact that every person wants to be valued, every person wants to be understood, and every person wants to know someone cares. And if you are intentional in valuing people, and if you're intentional in caring for people, you will always be loved and you will always have influence. In fact, the way to gain influence is to add value to people. So the question that we all have is, do we care enough to be intentional in adding value to others? I believe that it's as simple as starting your day off with the purpose and the declaration that you're going to find someone today that you can add value to. To be honest with you, that's what I do every morning, and I try by noon to have already accomplished that and get what I call, quote, one under my belt. The reason I do that is because I know that I don't want the day to pass, and I finish my day and say, wow, I'm not sure I really gave a tangible way of caring to somebody today. I've had that happen before, and to be honest with you, it's kind of an empty feeling. But there's nothing more rewarding at the end of the day to look back and say, oh, I can think of three times today where I really tangibly showed care. So you want to be intentional. And intentionality means that when I'm around people, I'm looking for people that I can help, that I can add value to, that perhaps have a need. If I'm in a restaurant for breakfast, I want to find out a little bit about my waiter. I want to find out about my waitress. Is it a single mom? Is there, you know, it may be as much as just leaving an extra $10 for a tip. It doesn't have to be a lot, but it has to be intentional. And what I've found is intentional act of kindness makes me kind. Intentional acts of caring makes me care. And I need that. Because to be honest with you, I'm a very strong person. And I can literally go through a day and not need anything or need anyone. And that's not healthy. It's not healthy for me and it's not healthy for you. So how do I come up against that strength? By intentionally making sure that I find people that aren't strong, that need help, that I can add value to and make a difference in their life. I call it the great balancing effect. It takes my strength and makes me better, but it takes my weakness and makes me care. And I think that caring in the long run is better. So I want to encourage you today to be intentional. Just look for the time, the place, the person that you can give a little tender love and care to. And by the way, if you look for it, you'll find it. If you don't look for it, you won't find it. You'll be in the same room with a person, one looking, one not looking. One caring, one not caring. One intentional, one intentional. One will leave fulfilled and the other will leave not meeting any needs. It's your choice. But I would choose today to be intentional in my caring. Because, as I say, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with the instruction that if you judge, if you lust for, if you swear, be aware of God's penalties. And I want to add to what we just read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 42. In chapter 7 also of Matthew, verse 1 through 7, this is what it says. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou set clearly to cast out the mote that's in your brother's eye. Now again, Jesus is identifying the relationship between like kind. We're talking Christians to Christians. You're coming out of Christianity. You got to be very careful how you apply this. It's still a good principle. But what is binding is that when we're talking about those of like precious faith, that's the key. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go to the New Testament, the Old Testament complement, and we're going to see how even more rigid it was put on Israel. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, we're going to be looking at verse 15, and then we're going to read verse 20 through 22. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. And this is even more significant. This was Moses rehearsing it to Israel, specifically for the nation of Israel. This is what it says. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall be put upon thee and overtake thee. Now, verse 20 and 20 through 22 gives us the completion of the thought. The Lord shall send upon thee cursings, vexations, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he has consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with all the sword, and all the blasting, and all the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Now, this was told Israel by Moses through God, and that was concerning for sure the Israelites. Now, God already told Israel what to do with those who were heathens and outside of the nation of Israel. So again, what we're talking about is that which pertains to those of precious faith, my brothers and sisters. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That if you are experiencing constant misfortune, you need to check yourself with God's commandments to ensure you are not being inflicted with God's penalties. Now, that is key. If you are not losing the Spirit of the Lord gives you, the love, the joy, the peace, the wisdom, the knowledge, the faith, just to mention a few, then you're okay with what you're doing. But if you are losing that, then you need to reconcile. You need to look at that differently and approach it in another way. Okay, my brothers and sisters, let's go now to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 43 through 48, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48, and we're going to take this instruction, keep this in mind as I read the text. Love your enemies also. Love your enemies also. That is significant. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Even the publicans do the same. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That is critical. Now, this is what you must keep in mind, that God, the Bible tells us, this is why it's so important that you read all of basic instructions before leaving earth. The Bible tells us that God loves judgment, okay? Even though we just read, well, judge not. Well, this is telling us that within God's love, there is judgment. And that gives us application to use this criteria to guard ourselves against the problem of going too far. Judgment, it includes discipline. It includes chastisement, it includes reprimand, it includes punishment. And so that tells you that you have to be careful more so with those who are inside the like precious faith than those who are on the outside. Now, what we're going to do is go to the Old Testament complement, and we're going to see what Deuteronomy, again, Moses tells Israel about this. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Verse 13 and verse 17 through 19. And what we're going to do is go into it after the break.
All right, you have to learn to pray. You learn to pray in the same way. Lord, teach us to pray. Now remember, in living this Christian life, you don't have to live it alone. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The moment you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you to give you the power, the strength, the wisdom, the courage to live the Christian life. Now the Holy Spirit also helps in your prayer life. The Scripture says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit helps you to pray. Now, may I make a suggestion? There's so many people that say, well, I don't feel like praying. I only pray when I feel like it. Then you're wrong. You should have a definite time and place every day to pray. You have an appointment. You have an interview with Almighty God. Suppose you had an interview with President Eisenhower tomorrow morning. You'd get up and say, well, I don't feel like seeing the President this morning. Or suppose you were going to be presented to the Queen. Well, I don't feel like it this morning. No, you'd be there. You'd be dressed in your best. You'd go and present yourself to the Queen. Well, every day, God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is waiting. He has given you an audience at any time of the day, and you fail to keep your appointment. Have a definite time that you set aside and pray when you least feel like it. The will is involved here, too. You say, I don't feel like it. All right, your emotion, your body says, I don't feel like it. My mind says, I don't feel like praying. My will makes me go and spend time in prayer because prayer is work. Prayer is work. And many times you make yourself keep your appointment with God, and out of some of those moments come your most precious moments and some of your greatest answers to prayer.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with the instruction. Thou shalt love thy enemies. And this is what the Old Testament complement says in comparison and agreement with what Jesus taught. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. This is what Moses rehearsed for the Israelites. And now, Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Now let's complete this thought. 17 through 19 explains, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doeth execute judgment. You hear that? I told you about judgment a minute ago. Now, judgment, within judgment, there is chastisement, there's punishment, there's reprimand, there's reproof. Anyway, verse 18 says, he does it. Execute judgment of the fatherless and the widows and the loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the strangers, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. So that's what Israel was told to do. But again, when you're talking outside of those who are of like precious faith, you have to keep in mind that those that do not recognize this, they are subjected to the judgment of God. And that judgment is applied physically through his people. And that's something that you have to be careful with, because it's like threading a needle. Anyway, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that agape love or God love, okay? We're talking about God judgment, is what we must apply to everyone. That includes our enemies, that love is spiritual first with some physical applications, like feeding the hungry as an example. We will feed our enemies if they are in captivity and not trying to overcome or destroy us. But again, if they are, then we won't. So you have to be able to rightfully divide this, my brothers and sisters. Now let's go. That's what I'm trying to share with you in this explanation, spiritually. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 8. And this is what the instruction says, and I want you to keep in mind this instruction as I read the text. Approach God privately, and he will give you what you need accordingly. Approach God privately, and he will give you what you need accordingly. And this is what Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 8 says. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. If you're doing this, you're going to receive your reward for doing it. And if it's for man, it's only momentary. If it's for God, it's going to be extended and expanded upon through the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit that you will receive, the wisdom, the knowledge, the faith, the love, the joy, the peace. That's the difference. To continue with verse 3, but when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand does, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And the reward will be that continuous receipt of wisdom, knowledge, and faith, and love, and joy, and peace. Verse 5 says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So there again, that physical reward is momentary. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But and then we're going to go to complete the thought. Verses 16 through 18 says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Again, that momentary reward. That's not what we're looking for. Verse 17 says, but thou, when thou fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That is so significant on how we approach God. We don't do it for fanfare of man. We do it for God exclusively. Now what we're going to do is look at our compliment. We're going to look at our Old Testament compliment. Turn with me to 2 Kings, verse 1-6. 2 Kings, verse 5:1-6. 2 Kings, verse 5, verse 1-6. And we're going to see what the compliment tells us. Okay? In fact, I can see where I miswrote this, so I won't be able to give you that compliment this evening. So what I'm going to do is just go to what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives. This is what it should mean to us. That a personal relationship with God is demanded by him if you expect better results than what you are experiencing like at the church building. That a personal relationship with God is demanded by him if you expect better results than what you are experiencing at the church building. And that means that you have a personal relationship with God. That's key. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. And what I want you to do is keep in mind, as I read the text, this instruction. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what I want you to focus on, my brothers and sisters, as I read the text. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is what Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21 says. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moths and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So that is what Jesus is telling us. And now let's go to the Old Testament compliment and see how it compares and agrees with this. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 9 through 12. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 9 through 12. And this is what the Old Testament complement compares and agrees and says. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself. And he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in fruits of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land where thy fathers swear unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee the good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto thy land in his season, and do bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. So what God is telling us is that where your treasure is supposed to be and what he tells us to do. And now we'll get to what this should mean spiritually in our lives after we have the break.
Times have you had somebody say, well, I promise you. Well, promise is our word today. I'm in it with Maxwell. Hi, my name is John. And I think every one of us have had times in our life where there was a promise that pretty well gave us a look at what the future could be if we improved ourselves. It's a wonderful word. It's a word of anticipation. It's a word of hope. It's a word of growth. So when somebody says, I promise you, it's normally something that's going to be in a positive way. And pretty much they're saying, I'm going to put my name on the line, my reputation on the line. Now, we've heard the saying many times that some people, they overpromise and underdeliver, and that isn't where you want to go. Really, what you want to do is underpromise and overdeliver. You see, the gap between expectation and reality, that's called disappointment. So when we promise something, don't leave the gap. Fulfill your promise. I can promise you this. If you do that, people will love your promise. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my brothers and sisters, let's complete this instruction. We're looking at for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we already read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, what Jesus said about it. And we also looked at what the complement, the Old Testament complement, had to say about it in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 9 through 12. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that what you like to do, you will favor more. That tells us in a nutshell that if your treasure is where it is, you're going to where your treasure is, that's where you're going to enjoy being and applying and having your fun. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, and it's just one verse we're going to read this time. But what we're going to do, this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read that one verse. You cannot serve two masters. That's the instruction. And this is what Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, or Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says. No man can serve two masters, For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. That's what Jesus is saying. It's either going to be God or it's either going to be the world. And this is how we look at it. The spiritual complement, we're going to go to Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 6, and it's going to give us the complement here. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 6, and this is what it says. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, that thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That is why we cannot serve two masters. And it was put more explicitly to the Israelites that way. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that you cannot have one foot in the world and the other foot in God. God does not allow that. But because of Jesus Christ, God is merciful about it and forgives us for doing or trying it if we repent. That's the key. God knows that we're flesh and soul, or flesh and spirit. And he does give us a reprieve in that instance. All right, this is the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. This is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, this is what the text says. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or not for your body, what ye shall put on. Is it not life more than meat, and that body more than raiment? And I'm not going to read the rest of the verses except for the last three and the last four. And this is what, again, it's telling us about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you need these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And this is what the complement tells us in comparing and agreeing. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. And this is how more explicitly it was given to the Israelites through Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 through 31, and it says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of the fathers that he swore unto them. Now, this is telling us that this is telling Israel specifically, but still this is in relationship to seeking the kingdom of God first. If you're coming to God, then he's going to respond to you accordingly. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God made us in his own image and likeness, that God wants to dwell inside of us. But because of disobedience, we are hindered from accomplishing this continually, but we must keep trying. And that's why Jesus had to come. That, again, from the last instruction, because we are flesh and spirit, we have a tendency to fail. But because of repentance and faithfulness through Jesus Christ, we can still accomplish that. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. We're going to look at just one verse, and this is what I want you to keep in mind, the instruction as I read that verse. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Do you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. And this is what Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 says. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, this is so significant because when you approach those who are outside Christianity and they do not know Jesus Christ, you got to be careful how you approach them or they will hurt you. Now we're going to go to the Old Testament complement and see what the Old Testament has to say about this. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. And this is how Solomon put it to the Israelites. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 and verse 8. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. That's when you're going outside of those who are like-minded. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Again, if you're going to talk to someone that doesn't believe in what you believe in, you may be headed for problems. Verse 8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. This is telling us that those who are of like-mindedness will respond accordingly. But those who are not, you're going to have problems with them. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should help those who want help. And we must be very careful how we do it, especially with those who are outside of Christianity. That is the key. And we know that basic instructions before leaving earth tells us explicitly how to approach with tender loving care those who are outside, and for sure those who are outside of our faith, how we should share with them. Okay, that completes the instruction for this evening. Now, as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. All right, until we come back at the next appointed time, those that have an ear to hear, let them hear. God bless and good night.
For Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E.